When an idea lives far beyond its birthplace, it transforms into something legendary. Here we call this the Chief's Kingdom, the expanse of those that define the Chief's spirit. Anchored smack dab in the middle of the United States, this kingdom has no earthly boundaries. From its Midwestern roots, it grows. It covers plains and deserts, rolls over seas and mountains, and rushes right into our hearts. It spans generations, races, creeds, until it finally touches the rugged landscape of our hopes and dreams. This kingdom was not built on stone or mortar, no. It was modeled on the stories of sport and valor. And each year, new chapters are etched into this never-ending saga. 20, 15, 10, touchdown! And although there is one special place called home, wherever you hear the thunder of red and gold, wherever a hero is remembered, or another one born, wherever the will of people give life to the game, welcome, neighbor. You're in the Chief's Kingdom.
.42 Fighter Wing, you're about to go do the most important mission there is in the Air Force. Because right now, there's a soldier, a sailor, an airman, a marine that is going to need your help. This wing can provide that help better than any other A-10 unit in the world. First and foremost, be focused on the mission because you need to hit the ground running when you get there. You've said goodbye to your families. We'll take care of the families here on this end so that you can get the job done. As Air Force Reservists, I know most of you have civilian jobs. You've had to leave those civilian jobs and your family to volunteer to do the job that America's asked you to do. Less than 1 in 1,000 Americans sign up to defend their country. We need that today. When people want to take away our freedoms, our liberty, our respect for the rule of law, it takes people like you who step up, put on the uniform, and do America's business. Stay focused and get the job done.
Signing up to go into the military and, you know, basically signing over that portion of your life to someone else where you're committed to this path you're on. You can't just walk away and quit because you don't like where they stationed you or who your boss is or anything like that. It's definitely a pretty deep commitment you have to take on.
Well, my dad was active duty Air Force. He was ammo troop.
None of my family was in the military, so I didn't even know what to expect whenever I joined up.
Your flight chief puts out a list, and the list is, do you want to go? Yes or no? Everybody put their name on that list and was ready to go.
I'm one of the first ones to raise my hand and volunteer.
I don't think there's anybody in this wing that wouldn't volunteer over and over and over again.
I put down I wanted to go for the longest time possible. I looked down that list and I'm like, man, everybody in this unit wants to go for the longest time possible.
You want to deploy. It's kind of like being a football player, you know, and practicing all the time and never getting to play a game. You know, we don't seek out war or combat or anything like that, but if the country needs U.S. military forces somewhere in the world, you want to be the one to go do it and employ your trade.
Set this back down.
Here we're in Kandahar, Afghanistan. I haven't really wanted to film too much in my room because we've kind of been sleeping on top of each other in here for a while. We had a bed shortage, so there were three of us in here instead of the normal two that this room was pretty much sized for. We're about halfway through right now, and it's moved remarkably fast so far, and I'm sure the second half will go pretty quick, too.
The 442nd Fighter Wing is a unit of civilian airmen entrusted to protect America's troops in combat. Alongside of them is one of the most unique airships ever designed. Its sole purpose, protect those who so selflessly protect us.
It's not sleek, it's not fast. But one thing about it, it does its job.
Flown a bunch of different aircraft in the military, but the A-10 has been by far the most fun.
It's a 30-millimeter gun with an aircraft built around it.
It shoots big 30-millimeter shells. It's like shooting laser beams. It's fantastically accurate. It's a lot of fun to fire.
I'd hate to be on the receiving end of that, that's for sure.
It has 11 stations. You can drop bombs. It is slow, meticulous.
Carry a lot of stuff, it'll stay over the area a long time. It takes a beating, keeps on working.
Just flying the airplane by yourself,
This nimble little tactical fighter is a real rush. Comes in, flies in low, and, you know, drops bombs and, you know, kills bad guys.
You know, it's pretty intense. You're the only person in the cockpit, so you're the one who has to safely get that aircraft airborne, do what you do with it, and then bring it back. Some airplanes, that's their mission, to take off and land and get things or troops from here to there. What we do is employ the aircraft once we're airborne. Quite simply, our job is just support troops on the ground.
Anytime you have troops on the ground, you want an A-10 in the air. Any troop that's on the ground that sees an A-10 in the air, he knows he's safe.
That is the big thing that we do. We bring guys home that are on the ground. We protect them, and that is our job.
There are many similarities between a football team and a military unit. It is a group of people working together for a common goal. You have to have chemistry. You have to have smart people. You have to have dedicated people. And you have to have people that more or less believe in each other.
This big team emphasis. And the 442nd, this wing, this base, is a little unique because we're reservists. And unlike the active duty life that I was used to, the folks here tend to come and stay for the most part.
The best word to describe the people I work with is just selfless.
Service before self.
It's a big happy family, really.
People stay part of this and they don't leave.
We've got crew chiefs that have their name painted on our airplanes out here that have been working on that same A-10 aircraft for 20 years. It's really incredible to see that kind of continuity in the people you have.
They are heart of America. They have a tremendous work ethic, tremendous dedication to their nation, to their job, and to their unit. They are the best people you could imagine to have fighting your nation's wars.
Chief's Kingdom is brought to you by Hy-Vee. Hy-Vee, where there's a helpful smile in every aisle. Bud Light, the sure sign of a good time. Here we go. And the University of Kansas Hospital, the official healthcare provider of the Chiefs. The 442nd Fighter Wing, rooted in the outskirts of Kansas City, has defended American soil since World War II with a mission to train and deploy combat-ready airmen. Nearly two decades ago, the unit was asked to relocate in a historical move that not only sparked hometown pride, but also an idea that would transcend expectation.
When we moved over to Whiteman Air Force Base, we were also going into a base that was the home of the B-2, an incredible weapon system. But we wanted to maintain a bit of our own identity. Each of the B-2s was named after one of the states. So they had the spirit of Missouri, the spirit of Texas, the spirit of Washington. And so we were looking for some way to keep our aircraft identified with the Midwest, with the Kansas City area.
In 95, I developed the emblem that we have, took it to Colonel Lynch, asked his permission if we could get this authorized to put on our A-10s. I asked him, I says, you know, are you a Chiefs fan? And he looked at me and he turned around and he says, what do you think? And he had his flight helmet looked just like a Kansas City Chiefs helmet. And he says, we're going to do it.
It's pretty awesome. I can't lie. You see the arrowhead on ours, you know that's a good A-10. That's the A-10 that's doing work.
That's my football team. And it's my football team with my plane on it.
Seeing the stickers on vehicles as you're driving, you know, you see a sticker and you're like, hey, that's our unit.
I have seen that arrowhead as far away as Florida, out in Colorado. And it's this particular one that I made and gave to all the members of the 442nd.
We definitely identify quite a bit with the Chiefs. All the pilots now even carry around an arrowhead-shaped coin that we have to have on us.
It's a symbol of home, really. It's a symbol of Kansas City and what we're doing over there.
Wherever we go, everybody knows where we are, where we're from that arrowhead.
All right, it's February 1st. Got to fly my first Nightline. The missions are a little bit different, but what made last night interesting is the weather was pretty crappy for us, so the ceiling's invisibility forced us pretty low, even with our night vision goggles on. It was pretty tough seeing what was going on out there. But we did what we needed to do. The guys on the ground did what they needed to do, and it was a good sortie, so successful on that.
Every military deployment that you go on is different, but that's part of being capable military, is having that flexibility, and particularly air power. You know, that's flexibility is one of the reasons why we have an Air Force. All you need is a runway to take off from and a place to park the airplane and some place to sleep and go eat. If you've got those things, you know, you can go out and do the mission.
You make sure that those planes are flying. You make sure that everything's, you know, working. When you're done, you call it a day. You go back and wake up the next morning and do it all over again.
This is what it's all about. This is why I joined. I didn't join to go to school. I joined to go to Afghanistan. I joined for my family and friends. I want to know that some guy is probably going back home to his wife and kids and mom and dad because that A-10 came out of nowhere, swooped down, and saved him. And I'm lucky I get the chance to say goodbye and go and do what I'm going to do.
But the hardest part is definitely leaving your family. That is by far the most difficult part about deploying. It's not any kind of hardship that we'll endure, or, you know, having to travel halfway across the world, or, you know, living in, you know, somewhat austere conditions. You know, that's actually the easy part, but it's just knowing that your wife and family are doing okay.
I am a bit beat right now. A lot of people have to stay over here a lot longer than we do, but we're already ready to get home, so we're missing the folks back home, and can't wait to get back there. So, more later.
Chiefs Kingdom goes inside the lives of the most remarkable fans in the NFL. Email your stories to 65TPT@kcchiefs.org, and you might be featured on the next Chiefs Kingdom.
It is, it's 11 February, and Groundhog Day was last week, I guess, or earlier this week, I don't know, but it's kind of been Groundhog Day for us here for a while, once we got into the swing of things, so we're definitely ready to get out of here and head home.
Home. Its location, unique. Its meaning, universal. For those who serve the United States as members of the 442nd Fighter Wing, who call Whiteman Air Force Base their post, their home is smack dab in the middle of the Chiefs Kingdom.
Kansas City's home, you know, and there's nothing like being home, being around family, being around the things that you grew up with and are familiar, like the Chiefs. Just being able to go to a Chiefs game, not being, you know, stationed in another part of the country or another part of the world where you can't just flip on the TV and, you know, catch the Chiefs game or the Jayhawks game or whatever you want to see.
The majority of the unit are Chiefs fans, I'd say that. I remember the first game I went to. After that, I was hooked. 116 decibels, that's why. It's so loud, it's incredible, you know.
You haven't experienced a real football game until you've been there, man. Going and seeing the sea of red, it's just incredible. Thousands of people who have the same passion that you have.
I love my Chiefs. I don't care where I go. Football is America.
Football means an incredible amount of joyous feelings all across this country. It is so much part of our fabric of Americana.
Chappie, be like 2+45 on time.
And now, to honor America, please rise and remove your hats for our national anthem.
Five, four, three,
hold as your mouth,
two.
And Chappie, be light, on time. The anthem has started. 120.
So they're going to have, they're going to adjust 10 seconds.
So proudly we hail at the twilight's last gleaming. For the land.
Shacked it, on time, awesome job.
If you're not ready to play again, when you see those jets, those bombers come in, it does something to you. If you're not ready to play, after that, you will be ready.
I've never been anywhere that the people get as excited as they do in Arrowhead.
Anytime there's a flyover, I think it's a special moment. It, of course, makes me think a lot of Derek Thomas. flyovers, I think, were probably one of the most significant things for him on game day because he lost his father, who was a pilot. Every time I see a flyover, I think of Derek.
Well, I'm thinking about my daughter, thinking about my country. There's a little tear in the eye sometimes when it flies over, especially when it's my jet.
Everybody looks up and just starts cheering every time.
Just knowing that I've worked on every single plane that is flying over my head is just, I put those planes in the air.
You know, as a military spouse, I know what he does, and I get to see him take off and land every once in a while, but I don't really get to see him in action very often.
Here they come! There they come!
To see them come up and approach the stadium.
There's your dad!
Really? It's pretty cool.
It's a rush to get to do, but honestly for me, I think the most fun is when we fly over the stadium and the first chance I have to actually look over my shoulder and see the crowd in the stadium and see the fireworks going off. And then usually we're going as quickly back to the airfield to land and hop in our cars and drive and catch the second half of the game.
The members of the 442nd Fighter Wing are clearly loyal fans of the Chiefs' kingdom. However, that appreciation pales in comparison to the respect and love the Chiefs have for them and for all those who serve.
To the brave men and women of the 442nd Fighter Wing, for more than two decades, the Kansas City Chiefs have cherished our relationship with Whiteman Air Force Base and the 442nd Fighter Wing. From the annual flyovers at Arrowhead, to the opportunity for our players, coaches, and staff to visit the base and spend time with all of the true heroes who call Whiteman home. We are honored to be your team. As the 442nd defends our great country, it gives me tremendous pride to know that you're displaying our colors and logo around the world. Wherever your service takes you, know that the thoughts and prayers of the Kansas City Chiefs and the entire Chiefs Kingdom are with you, and we look forward to seeing you at Arrowhead very soon. Best regards, Clark Hunt.
Chiefs Kingdom goes inside the lives of the most remarkable fans in the NFL. Email your stories to 65TPT@kcchiefs.org. And you might be featured on the next Chiefs Kingdom. Chiefs Kingdom is brought to you by Hy-Vee. Hy-Vee, where there's a helpful smile in every aisle. Bud Light, the sure sign of a good time. Here we go. And the University of Kansas Hospital, the official healthcare provider of the Chiefs. The Chiefs Kingdom is a symphony of moments, images, connections, and each snapshot tells a story of her adventure. Superstition comes in many forms, but here is a heads up of how it manifests itself for Major General Michael K. Lynch.
When I was a squadron commander, and any time that I would fly the A-10, it was always my lucky helmet. The helmet flew over Bosnia several times in combat. In fact, it was the playoff game with Montana here, where they went to overtime.
Get him in the end zone.
We were watching the game overseas, and we were passing the helmet on everybody to rub it for good luck.
He's done it! Joe Montana has done it again!
Before we went to the Balkans the first time, we came to a Chiefs practice. Marty was the coach, and the guys gathered around us. I had the helmet with us, and they all rubbed the helmet for luck and wished us the best as we headed off to the Balkans, which was pretty nice. And so then we went to northern Italy, and we were flying combat missions over the Balkans, and I wore the helmet several times in combat.
On the next Chiefs Kingdom.
I didn't want to learn the game. I wanted to play it. I knew I would have better opportunity than Kansas group for the guy. I don't think being deaf makes the difference in football. It's just quiet. You don't hear the helmets crashing, but you can sure feel it.
65 toss power trap.